It's Wednesday, and it's a big business Wednesday, and I am here with the boss himself, Mr. Robert Karpeles. I'm Don D'Angelo, by the way. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing all right, and since it is that special AEW Dynamite Wednesday, I'm putting a dollar sign at the end of my last name.
Ooh.
How about that? How about the lineup we've got today? Guys, look, Dom puts together a run sheet every day, and it normally knocks it out of the park. Today, I was like, I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about. You pulled a lot of great stuff all across the board. It is over the top stacked. And I want to give a shout out here to Matthew Buswell saying, afternoon, fellas, any time for Billy and the CW? I can confidently say no. There's actually so much stuff to talk about with breaking news that happened earlier today, Dom.
That's correct. And we'll lead off with that. But we're also obviously going to talk big business with Jesse Ventura. Is he back in the political realm? Possibly. Maybe. We'll see. Bryan Danielson had some interesting comments. And we're going to talk a little Will Ospreay, too. And hey, maybe Cousin Tony, if we have the time.
Dude. We're not going to have time.
Dang it.
Well, Tony D'Angelo, we may as well be on the NXT may already be on the CW at this point because we don't have time to touch on it. Maybe at the end, if I'm feeling generous, we'll get some Billy and the CW and Tony and the CW. Let's start with the Hall of Fame.
Yes, another Hall of Fame announcement. Mr. Thunderbolt Patterson has been announced as one of the 2024 Hall of Fame inductees for WWE. And as I have the whole information here, if you guys are a little unfamiliar with Thunderbolt, I'll give you a little history here. As first reported by Anscape, Thunderbolt Patterson will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024. A hugely influential, although often overlooked figure in sports entertainment history, Patterson's captivating abilities on the microphone inspired a generation that followed in his footsteps. Growing up in Iowa, Patterson moved to Texas, worked with Dory Funk, Terry Funk, and he began performing incredible interviews using delivery by Black Southern pastors. He's very influenced very much Dusty Rhodes, who Dusty has credited a lot. But he's worked while defeating iconic opponents like Bruiser Brody and WWE Hall of Famer The Sheik. In addition to that, the original Sheik too, by the way. And then he also had a pretty good feud, I believe, with Ole Anderson as well. And he helped launch. Yeah, he most famously with Ole Anderson before their partnership erupted into a brutal rivalry. Yes, so he did have one. And it helped launch the legendary Four Horsemen. Patterson's work as a captivating performer was self-evident, but he's also a fierce advocate for the health and welfare of competitors outside of the ring. His legacy as a showman with his signature quick punches, his incredible blend of power and speed, his compassion for his fellow man lives as his influence can still be seen in the ring today. And that's absolutely true. Robert, what do you think of this induction?
Look, this is not what anybody had on their list. If you would have started picking names, I think it's a really interesting choice by the WWE to go ahead and induct Thunderbolt Patterson. He's someone who is deserving for a number of reasons. I think he's an interesting historical figure for the WWE, because Thunderbolt Patterson, for those of you unfamiliar, a couple things. Number one, I want to recommend there's a number of YouTube videos. There's like a 15-minute compilation of Thunderbolt Patterson promos, and you'll hear the way that he speaks. You can hear Dusty Rhodes in your mind when you're listening to that. You can hear The Rock when you're listening to Thunderbolt Patterson. There was a conviction. There was a charisma in the way that Thunderbolt Patterson would speak. Patterson was someone, John Cena as well. Yes. Thunderbolt Patterson spoke out about working conditions for wrestlers, someone who was in favor of unionizing professional wrestlers at a point in time where unionizing would have been different than what people think of it today. Back then, it would have been setting minimum safety standards, requirements. Are there barricades instead of ropes to keep the fans away? Because you had fans that were attacking wrestlers, stabbing wrestlers. You didn't have that kind of proper security. Whether or not there were, you know, EMTs available in the back, just more common sense stuff, food and drink for the wrestlers that they weren't getting paid in a hot dog, that there was actually catering. He was also, for a number of reasons, blackballed from the industry because he spoke out about racial inequality. You have to imagine being someone like Thunderbolt Patterson wrestling in the South, late 60s, early 70s, into the 80s. The sorts of situations that he or Ernie Ladd encountered were awful. He spoke out that Dory Funk was someone who treated him very fairly. A number of other promoters did not, and it sort of pushed him to the fringes. So giving him that platform, giving him that stage at the WWE Hall of Fame It's a little interesting to see what he's going to say. I think more importantly for the WWE, it's a chance for them to pass the heat a little bit. It's you know, hey, we're going to own a lot of the bad things that happened in the history of professional wrestling as it relates to wrestler safety and as it relates to racism. And hopefully you guys won't look over here and see the Vince McMahon stuff. It does kind of feel a little bit like we want to deflect. It's very cool that Thunderbolt Patterson's going to get this opportunity, recognition as someone who for a long time, they just didn't touch. They didn't talk about, mainly because anyone that was in favor of wrestling unions was always pushed to the side. We're going to talk about another wrestling union proponent later on in the show when we talk about former Governor Jesse the Body Ventura. But I'm curious, Dom, have you ever seen any Thunderbolt Patterson stuff before? Were you surprised by this?
No, I haven't. I liked his charisma from what I've seen, though, just a little bit. I haven't seen interviews and things like that. Maybe like little glimpses of it all. But I very much knew that Dusty was an influence on him. A big influence for him, and that the aspect of like, yeah, him kind of almost being blackballed from the industry in a lot of ways, but then he was like that preacher voice that you just talked about, like influenced all those names that mentioned and then some on top of it too. So it's pretty cool. It's neat too, how in a way there's indirect ties, like Ole just passing. So that's also kind of, it ties into everything. And then, hey, the Dusty Rhodes influence, you got Cody in there as a top star too. And it's going to be pretty cool to see. I'm really intrigued to see who's going to induct him, to be honest.
I don't know. I will point out here from Coach Keith Morrison. It's Wednesday, guys. I don't know what's going on here. He said, I'm happy for the Bolt, as Ole used to call him. There's probably a little bit of that fun schadenfreude that they waited until after Ole passed away to induct Thunderbolt Patterson. Ole wouldn't have cared. But the fact that Thunderbolt Patterson even somewhat got along with Ole Anderson speaks to this man's character, and the fact that he has not only transitioned to being a preacher, but he's run summer camps for youth, for some disenfranchised youth. So there's a nice humanity aspect to it. It's almost Warrior Award-ish, but we're not leaning that far into it. He's getting in there for his in-ring skills, his promo skills, and the beauty of the WWE's library being so deep and so wide, they can pull footage of Thunderbolt Patterson from Florida. They can pull footage of him from JCP. I'm sure that they have some stuff from him in his time in Texas. The video package alone for him will do a lot of the heavy lifting of introducing the younger audience to who Thunderbolt Patterson is.
And let me say this too. I think the aspect too, he's relatively unknown to a mainstream audience at this juncture too, in a lot of ways. So it's a kind of a cool opportunity. Once people see who Thunderbolt Patterson is and that video package that you mentioned and all the hype that maybe gets up for him, it's going to be cool because it'll elevate a star that's kind of been in the past. And so I think I like that aspect a lot too, Robert.
It shows the reverse. And this is something I used to talk about even when I was at WWE. When you're the victor, you get to write history. Mm-hmm. So the WWE had the ability to erase people from history. And we used to be, I don't want to say upset, but when we found out a wrestler would leave for TNA or be released and they were going overseas, we could no longer use them when telling the narrative and story of wrestling. I remember when we lost Kurt Angle and Kurt jumped over to TNA. And it's like, well, now we have years of footage we're not allowed to plug in. Part of why Bret Hart got put back into the fold was Bret was relatively unknown to a decent chunk of a young wrestling audience. It sounds strange to say now, but when he left in 97 and went to WCW, they didn't bring him up other than to point out the Bret Hart screwed Bret Hart. And his legacy for a few years, late 90s, early 2000s, he was non-existent. Mm-hmm. So when you become... an enemy is a strong word, but when you become someone on the other side of Vince McMahon and he doesn't see there's an opportunity to do business, you do wind up vanishing. A lot of those folks that brought the concussion lawsuits against the WWE, off the top of my head, I think Demolition. Mm-hmm. My friend Travis was literally texting me yesterday saying, it sucks that Demolition's not in the Hall of Fame, in part because they went ahead with this lawsuit. So Thunderbolt Patterson was one of those names. I was familiar with him from my time working at WWE, helping build up WWE 24/7. You would see him in a lot of the regional footage, but he was not someone that was put front and center. He wasn't even someone that was used when it was Black History Month and they wanted to dip into there. You always use Big Cat Ernie Ladd. Ernie Ladd, obviously, on great terms with Vince Sr. Thunderbolt Patterson just didn't exist. So I'm happy that he is taking his place here. But it does pose some interesting questions as to who else is potentially going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Right. We still got the Warrior Award that you mentioned. And then obviously, like, a lot of people are expecting Bray Wyatt, you know, and rightfully so, too. So usually they do what? Is it six inductees in total or something?
There's no hard and fast rule. The Warrior Award, we'll see who they wind up going with this year. They've gone back and forth as to what the purpose of that award was. When it was first put forth, the idea was that this was going to be promoting behind the scenes people, the production people, longtime employees, the folks who really kept the engines running. There's a couple guys I'd love to see a Nelson Swegler or a Kerwin Silfies go in there. There's also, and I don't want to say this because I'm worried about a lightning bolt hitting me, the possibility of Kevin Dunn being inducted. So the only reason, guys, the only reason I would want to see Kevin Dunn inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame is for them to do it in Philadelphia and his entire speech get drowned out by asshole chants. That's it. That is the only positive I can think. There's a lot of nice things to say about Kevin. I'm sure, theoretically, if forced to do so and use my legal skills. But I'd much rather see, honestly, Jim Johnston go in.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, 100%.
Iconic. Obviously, part of the ad-free shows family and that he has done some StarCasts. When he did the StarCast event, he referred to Vince McMahon as evil. So the fact that Vince is gone, I think that this would be a cool time. Mike Lawrence, my co-host on Wrestle Roast, even suggested not only does he want to see Jim Johnston go in, he'd love to see Jim Johnston conduct an orchestra playing some of the great wrestling theme songs that he's put together. Guys, let's make this happen. That's what I'd like to see.
Let's get that Jim Johnston music too, back making themes and stuff like that. WWE and Robert.
Jim Johnston always brought the intensity whenever he performed. You listen to Ultimate Warrior theme and you're ready to go. And guys, if you want to make sure that you're ready to go, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. We don't have that kind of time, Tom. We are on the road to WrestleMania. You got to be ready to go because Blue Chew wants to help you, yes, you, have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free. When you use our promo code Rumor at checkout, just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Make a little music in the bedroom, guys, like Jim Johnston.
There it is. Wow. That is the capper right there, Dom. You are the MVP of this episode. And moving on to potential new MVPs for All Elite Wrestling.
That's correct. We have MVPs. We have bosses. We have big business coming up Wednesday night, tonight at 8 p.m. From Boston. And Mercedes Moné is highly expected to make her debut. And she teased it too. She actually put on Instagram an image of Boston with Boss, two S's or $2 signs. So there you go. So she is all but likely to make it. How would you present her tonight here, Robert? What would be the best way to showcase her? Would you kick it off with her? Would you wait? How would you execute this, Robert?
You know what? I got to be honest. I don't know. I think you can start the show hoping that, you know, the crowd is going to be chanting. You have to hope, number one, that they know to chant Mercedes and not Sasha.
Yeah.
I would assume that the AEW fan base in general, they're aware of the name change. They're aware of how she has been branded. But you want to make sure you're going to announce your big signing. She's going to come out. And then the question becomes, who is she lining up against? Who is Mercedes's first big impactful opponent going to be? And in all honesty, there really isn't somebody ready. There's nobody teed up that you can put up against Mercedes Moné night one, and it is a blow the doors off dream match. I think that's part of the reason why I'm happy for Moné or Mercedes, Sasha, whatever, a lot of different names. But I'm a little concerned about how it's ultimately going to go, because you can either immediately put her in there with Toni Storm, but then it's her going up against a heavily gimmicked opponent where you're going to have to work with that black and white and all of that, and you're immediately going after the title, so you have nowhere to go but down. It seems like they were kind of teasing Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb is obviously extremely capable in the ring. I don't know that she's lighting the world on fire. And then there's some of the younger women that are on the roster, whether it's an Anna Jay or a Julia Hart or a Sky Blue. But even there, it's totally different levels. And it's part of the problem of how Tony has presented the women's division. The person who seems to be getting a lot of momentum of late has been Chris Statlander. I think Statlander would be a good matchup for her. But again, is the audience going to see that same level of parity? Is there going to be that you know, holy shit moment that you want to see? The only other person is Britt Baker.
Yeah.
But she hasn't been on television in quite some time, and she comes with a lot of baggage of her own. So it's possible. I don't know. I don't know where. I'm sure they've thought it out of where they're going to go with this, but there's not a name that jumps out as saying, boy, this is an immediate dream match, and I'm really excited to see what Mercedes is going to do.
If you'd rewind it back to like 2022, Britt Baker would be a perfect one. You have Thunder Rosa, who's still in the mix and like doing matches on Collision and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like the way the women's division has been handled is not, you haven't built everybody up. Like I'm just flabbergasted too. You bring somebody like Ty Valkyrie in, and just nothing's been really done with her. And it's like, she could have been elevated to that point already at this juncture and stuff like that.
So imagine if they were using Athena week in and week out on television as a dominant force, and then you have Mercedes show up. Mm-hmm. The fact that Saraya, who people were dying for to have back in the ring, and the WWE wouldn't clear her, so she went to AEW, and they haven't really done anything with her in the last few years. Ruby
has
kind of fallen out. I get that, like, to me, the dream opponent for her in AEW would be Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter, obviously, still on the shelf. Hopefully, she'll be back sooner rather than later. I thought she had a tremendous upside, but I'll be watching. I'll be excited. I know Tony has said this is going to be a big night, but I'm worried it's going to feel lesser than.
Yeah. I mean, you could surprise everybody with the Jamie Hayter by having her attack Moné after she had debuts, but then
people are excited to see Jamie Hayter back, and they're going to potentially cheer her and remember, oh yeah, she was awesome. We were in support of her way back when. It shocks me if Tony knew that he was going to have this Mercedes signing locked up weeks ago, months ago, that he hasn't been full force building up his women's division, making that a front and center part of his programming, so that you're going, my God, there's like seven or eight women who are teed up and ready to go with Mercedes. Instead, it's hopefully she shows up and everybody else elevates their game, which is exactly what they thought was going to happen with Saraya. And here's where we are.
I mean, they put themselves a little bit behind the eight ball to be forthright with it. And, you know, you hope that's kind of, you know, that she can elevate people, but you want all those stars to be already elevated. So before we move on, any quick thoughts about the rest of the card? We got Samoa Joe versus Wardlow. The Elite will be taking on a returning Pac. Penta and Eddie Kingston. Darby Allin will be challenging Jay White. Chris Jericho and Hook will take on the Gates of Agni, and Willow Nightingale will take on Rio.
So, yeah, you're giving away a world title match on TV, which should draw a big number. This thing should top over a million viewers. They've tried to put the full court press onto this show. I think that Joe will most likely retain. I feel like we are a couple weeks away from the AEW pay-per-view, whose name I always screw up. I want to say Destiny. Am I right?
Dynasty.
Every time. Every time. This isn't even a bit at this point. I have like a mental block when it comes to
names. I feel better about myself because all the names I screw up now, Robert. Thank you. What a day.
No. Because if you look at the bottom of the screen, my Twitter handle is literally right there. It's baseline reading comprehension for Dominic D'Angelo. I'm trying to work off memory while trying to remember the name of an AEW pay-per-view, and it's nowhere on the run sheet. Anyway, Joe and Wardlow, it means we're going to get more of the Devil storyline in some capacity. I hope that, you know, this thing, I hope Wardlow has a good showing, mm-hmm. but you're clearly building to Swerve and Joe. The new Elite, you've got Okada, and now he's immediately just a guy in a six-man tag. Yeah. And it's a hodgepodge six-man tag because it's Penta and Eddie Kingston and Pac. We have not seen the three of them together in quite some. We haven't seen Pac in forever. I know he showed up on, I want to say, Collision. But Pac is someone that's so unreliable because he's on TV. He has a couple good matches. And then he's gone for like 6 to 7 months, whether he's injured or he's in England, or he's injured in England, or he's doing that bird box gimmick with the blindfold or whatever it is. He's a great talent. He's just so inconsistent. Crowd can't really sink their teeth into it. Darby Allin, Jay White, a fine send-off before Darby goes to Mount Everest. Hopefully they can figure out if Jay White is a babyface or a heel since they've been kind of vacillating. And Willow Nightingale, Riho, I love Willow Nightingale. I think she's someone else who has such charisma, such and inimitably watchable. Like, you just want to watch Willow Nightingale. You want to cheer her on. We're waiting for that moment, waiting for that momentum for over a year for them to finally do something with her. So we will see. And then the less said about the Jericho Hook team up, the better. It's like a less interesting version of the holdover, Stum.
Right. Well, we have an interesting possible team up coming up in maybe our political landscape moving forward for 2024. The New York Times has reported that RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has confirmed that he's interested in having Jesse the Body Ventura or my NFL quarterback for the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers, as his vice president potential running mate. Obviously, Ventura has had a political history, made some big waves in 1998 as a non-Republican, non-Democrat, and, won the governor of Minnesota. So pretty interesting. Wrestling's everywhere, Robert.
Wrestling is everywhere. RFK Jr. Trying everything he can to garner attention, get eyeballs. I think realistically people know that his campaign is primarily symbolic. He is probably not going to garner enough votes to really register as a credible threat to the candidates. If anything, he'll probably peel votes away from Biden, from people who are not comfortable wanting to vote for Donald Trump, but at the same time have their reservations or concerns about him. This is not that type of politics show, guys. That is, you'll hear that sometimes on WrestleRose, not here on Rumor and Innuendo, but Jesse the Body Ventura is someone else who has proven as an outsider that he can attract people. He's got some interesting ideas that people are excited about. The challenge with Jesse is Jesse also has ideas that make people get a little nervous. He's got some strong conspiratorial views on a number of matters. He's hosted shows and podcasts and done interviews about that. He's a bright guy. He's a smart guy. It would be spectacle more than anything else. And Aaron Rodgers would make perks since already as a New York Jet, he's used to losing in horrible, embarrassing fashion on a national platform.
Hurtful.
Yes. So there's that.
Cuts me.
It's look, it'll be goofy and wacky and interesting if it winds up happening. Because let's turn real politics into as big a goof spectacle as wrestling used to be.
I'm all for that. I'm all for it.
I was joking, Dom. We need some level of adults running things here. We gotta fix things. Like, things are doing okay. We're getting Thunderbolt Patterson into the Hall of Fame, but things could be a little better.
Things could be always be better, yes, for sure. I want to talk a little Brian Danielson too. He had some interesting comments at the SXSW panel. That's hard to say.
South by Southwest.
Yeah. So, oh, thank you.
Jesus. There we go. That's why I'm here.
How about that?
I'm mainly here to help decipher the hieroglyphics in your own notes.
In my own notes. I had no idea what that stood for either. So thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, Brian Danielson at the South by Southwest conference had the following to say.
He had the following to say about being an AEW champion. He's like, I had some people ask me or say things to me like, oh, Brian, you should be champion. You should have been champion, or you should have this, or you should have that. And the reality is to me, no. The champions that we've had have been great. Hangman was great champion. MJF was a great champion, and it elevated these younger people to where these people are stars. And you put Hangman on TV now, and he draws a rating. You put MJF on TV, he draws a rating. It would be easy to just take stars of the past and make them your champion and make them your guy. That's the easy way. It's much harder to take somebody like MJF who hadn't been on national television and turn him into a star that draws ratings. That was my bigger goal, to transfer stardom from one generation to another. Interesting comments there. Everybody's kind of, once he debuted in AEW, they wanted the belt on him. I wanted the belt on him. I think there was a lot of opportunities to put the belt on him. But what do you think of Danielson's perspective here, Robert?
I mean, he makes perfect sense. You don't want to take older legacy established stars and put the title on him. That's why a young guy like Samoa Joe holding the title makes total sense. Fresh faced, fresh off the boat. Who is this bright young kid? No, Danielson. Never thought it says Danielson is 100% wrong. He should have been AEW world champion. And I think part of the reason why that was necessary, number one, he is a mainstream name. He's a mainstream draw. He's someone that can go out there, do press, do publicity, put him on the poster as the champion. And he feels like a big deal. The audience is still clamoring and excited for Brian Danielson. Number two, you want to make sure that you're further establishing credibility for your title. MJF as world champion was great. He really maximized his minutes, but some of those feuds that he was in were definitely lesser than the Jay White feud, parts of the Adam Cole feud, until they figured out that weird, muchachos, amigos thing was rough. Even his feud with Danielson, with the whole... being in a car accident with a girl and moving the body or whatever. Hangman as champion, people don't even really remember that. There's not a lot of fond memories to it. If you would have established Danielson as your champion, as a level of constancy, as a mature figure at the top, who fans are excited to see whether they want to boo him or cheer him, you're elevating the opponents against him, where wrestling Brian Danielson and almost beating him means something. And then when someone does beat Brian Danielson, that guy is cemented and made. When you have guys that are not truly established and then they're beating a champion who's not truly established, it doesn't mean as much. So I get Brian is overly humble. That's sort of the thing with him. I think they're beating him way too much now. Yeah. I think they need to realize there is a lot of equity. There is a lot of value in Brian Danielson. He should be at or near the top of the card and keeping that ship in, that ship going. I would love to see, quite frankly, him be the next challenger for Samoa Joe, just to let the rest of the card settle. You're bringing in a lot of new guys. You're bringing in Okada. You're bringing in Ospreay. You're trying to elevate Swerve. Let those established stars at the top tell their story. And then whoever wins out, whether it's Joe or Danielson, is then teed up for a Swerve Strickland or a Will Ospreay to chase after him. That's how you build stuff. I think Brian has an ideological view of things, and I have a lot more to say on it. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to do it because I see we're already at time. We have actual other stories still on the table. So I may touch on the Brian Danielson stuff again tomorrow, depending on what comes out of a big business So apologies to Billy Corgan and the CW that we're not going to get to that today.
It was next.
But you know what's next right now? People who want to hear more Dominic D'Angelo. Dom, working the fine folks here. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, guys. We talked about Jesse Ventura. I actually was fortunate. I did an interview with Jesse Ventura on Ad Free Shows. So probably.
Wait, what? Seriously?
I interviewed him probably I want to say last year at some point. So we talked a lot of the stuff. Politics was greatly talked about. We talked about Muhammad Ali, superstar Billy Graham, Bruno Sammartino. Really interesting conversation. Go to Ad Free Shows YouTube, check it out, which we're airing on live right now. So just
take that, Jarrett.
Take that, Jarrett. So yeah, you can check that out. Check out RVD, rvdtv.com. We cover Paul Heyman entering in the WWE Hall of Fame and plenty more that on this week's episode. Plus, Straight Talk with the Boss just dropped yesterday. Go to GagneandMagnum.com. Subscribe, like both those channels, RVD TV and GagneandMagnum.com. Help me out, help RVD out, help the Gagne and Magnum out. So, Robert, you got a lot on your plate too. What's cooking, man?
I've got my other podcast, Wrestle Roast, with professional comedians Mike Lawrence, Scott Champlin, and Dan St. Germain. And speaking of Dan St. Germain, not only will he be a guest on our show on Friday, last night his new comedy special, Dance Fatty Dance, came out on YouTube through 800 Pound Gorilla Productions. It is 100% free. It is worth going out of your way to check. Dan St. Germain currently on tour with Dan Soder. So, you know, two great wrestling Dan fans out there. But yes, definitely check out the Dan St. Germain comedy special. I'm in the crowd for it, and they do cut to me a couple times, coincidentally, which is kind of fun. But it's a fantastic show. Don't listen to it if your kids are around, by the way.
No, probably
not. My daughter walked in at a very inopportune moment. Oh, we were always going to have to explain some very adult themes to her that thankfully we just, you know, subverted and distracted. But we're not going to subvert and distract from you here on Rumor and Innuendo. We come to you every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on WWE Creative_ish X on Podcast Heat. Podcast Heat, the folks who make this show possible, as well as SE Scoops X account and the Dominic D'Angelo X account. We're also on Ad Free Shows and Rumor and Innuendo YouTube. Make sure you subscribe on all those places. Have your notifications on so you never miss a live episode. And if for some reason you do miss a live episode, check out the audio of our show on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts. And I will point out, yesterday's show, when it first got uploaded, it was dead air. And honestly, sometimes for us, it's a little better than what you would normally get. But it was almost immediately fixed. It's up there now. So if you tried to check it out yesterday on audio and you didn't hear it, it's up and running now. It sounds great. We sound great. On behalf of the auditorially pleasing Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Big business, baby. Big business.